I am officially declaring a national emergency.
Unprecedented times call for unprecedented actions.
Starting tomorrow, NBA play is suspended.
NCAA has canceled the men's and women's basketball tournaments.
Welcome to Managing the Crisis, brought to you by Core Image Studio.
The number of Americans filing claims for unemployment benefits has hit a record high.
There are fears that the Dow will drop and drop quickly.
The media giants are under pressure from a dramatic pullback in ad spending.
Now here's your host, the president of Barrett Sports Media, Jason Barrett.
Welcome once again to Managing the Crisis. I am Jason Barrett. This is the sixth episode of the podcast, a program I started recently to try and offer unique perspectives from industry professionals who work in different areas of the business. When a situation like the one we're dealing with right now impacts an entire industry, every department feels it. If you look back at the first five conversations I had on this podcast, they were with the CEO, sports betting content creator and programming executive, an ad agency executive, a local sports radio programmer, and an on-air talent. I'm looking for guests who have direct influence on programming, sales, digital, and marketing. If you've got a suggestion, email jbarrett@sportsradiopd.com. You can also find me on Twitter at sportsradiopd. To continue the trend of interesting people, episode 7 will feature sports media agent Steve Hirsch of the Montag Group. But that's the next show. Today's episode features another individual with an interesting connection to the industry, Dave Dennis, otherwise known as Chachi. Dave is a co-founder of the imaging group Benstown, and his group has offices in New York, Los Angeles, and Germany, three places all experiencing challenges due to the coronavirus. Benstown works with all radio formats, and when a global pandemic becomes the main focus for everyone, that can force immediate adjustments with the way imaging is written, produced, and of course, turned around. I thought it'd be valuable to pick Dave's brain on some of those challenges, so I want to welcome him into the podcast and dive right in. Dave, I've got a ton I'm going to throw by you, but before we get into the serious stuff, you've got to help me with one lighter issue. Who gave you the nickname Chachi, and where did it come from?
That's a good story. My first job was in San Diego at KFMB, Star 100.7, and I was hired by Tracy Johnson and Michael Steele, and they hired me to start off really just answering phones. Michael was doing nights. He was known as the new guy, and as my position evolved, Michael started to put me on air more and more, and so they gave me the name Chachi. The station was a hot AC radio station and at the time was appealing to women in their 30s. And in the 90s, women in their 30s grew up watching Happy Days and how my name came to be. And so Chachi stuck and it's been that way almost 25 years later.
Well, let's talk about Benstown. You guys are in a really interesting situation here because you have offices in New York, Los Angeles, and Germany. All three are dealing with this outbreak of COVID-19. How has the chaos of what's going on in the world right now impacted operations in each of those locations for you guys?
You know, fortunately, from an operational standpoint, we've done, I think, incredibly well. I'm the only one left in the LA office, and I come in every day because I live less than a mile away, but everyone else in LA is working from home. Mm-hmm. New York, we, unfortunately, one of our employees in New York actually got COVID-19.
Oh, man.
He's recovered. A younger gentleman and is doing well, but New York is doing good. But obviously, you being close by, I completely understand what a hot spot that is. And Germany, everyone in our Stuttgart office is also working from home. We have about, let me think about this mathematically, probably about half of us work in slash offices and the other half work out of their houses. We've got people in Atlanta, Texas, New Mexico, the UK, which is also getting hit pretty hard. But all those places, they work out of their homes. So we're already somewhat decentralized and used to this. This just took the other half of us and put us in a home situation.
You know, it's interesting about that. I spent 20 years in buildings, and the last four I've had to get used to working remotely from home. I go on business trips, but my business operates from a home office. So I've already conditioned myself for this. It's not anything that I need to get used to. You mentioned how half of your staff have gone through that as well, and they were already working remotely, so they'll be used to it. But there are a lot of people in radio right now doing this for the first time who are hosting shows at their kitchen table while their kids run around in the background and haven't done that before, not to mention just missing the day-to-day camaraderie that exists inside of a radio station. When you look into your crystal ball, how do you think this current situation will change things going forward for folks in radio companies and radio buildings who now look at it and go, do we need all these fancy studios and everybody coming to one location, or could we still be as effective operating remotely?
You know, that's a fantastic question. And I think to some degree, this will change the overall scope of how we view working from home. It's certainly been a trend, having flexible hours and making accommodations for employees, which I think is an important thing to do, but coming into this. But now I think this has been a gigantic shift. I'd read actually just the other day that WeWork and SoftBank, who does a lot of finance, a lot of WeWork, are now struggling. And will that model continue to work? I don't know. I can tell you personally, I really like having people down the hallways. I like that energy of a radio station. We've built our facility here in LA to mimic and look very similar to a radio station. So I miss having people around. And I think a lot of creativity happens in the halls of stations. So I would hate to see it go away. That being said, the technology today, GoToMeeting, which we're on right now, Zoom, and these various platforms make it easier than it's ever been to be able to do your job from home. And I cannot say that the people that we do have working from home aren't incredibly productive working from home, because they are. And some of our best team members do work from home and were working from home prior to this. So it's really going to be an interesting thing for us to spectate and watch after we're behind COVID-19 and how that changes.
You know, your company has been in business for roughly almost 15 years. You guys work with over 2,000 stations across the country. Many of these stations and clients that you guys work with target different audiences. You're talking young and old, male and female, white, black, Asian, Hispanic. Yet every one of those audiences right now has one specific issue on their mind: the coronavirus and how it's impacting their lives. How has that forced your team to adjust its messaging, or even advise programmers to modify what they're trying to communicate to audiences over the air, whether it be through promos, liners, or other production projects?
Great question. I actually was fortunate enough to be invited on a webinar earlier this week with Tracy Johnson and Ken Benson, and talking about the new normal and how to address COVID-19 on the air. And I think the single biggest thing you can do is really lead from the heart. This is something that, to your point, we are all vulnerable to it. This does not discriminate race, country, socioeconomic. It doesn't matter. COVID-19 impacts us all. And I know we've heard this a bunch of different times, but it is something that we're all in this together. And I would, my advice in regards to on air is be authentic, lead from the heart, be vulnerable. I think this is a time, I think we tend to put this armor on ourselves and don't open up as much as we possibly can or maybe should. And to be vulnerable and open with your listeners and share it with them, not only listen to them and hear what's going on with them, but also letting them know that we're available and there to help and support the community are all really important things. And I've been blown away at some of the creative ideas that have been just coming out, how radio's really stepped up to this occasion, whether it's blood drives, it's food drives, it's delivering food to seniors who shouldn't be leaving the house at all. Some of the creativity and just the outpouring of generosity really is, I think, an incredible testament to radio and what we do. And the more you can do that on the air and show the community that you're in that you're there and you're helping and you're listening to them, I think the better the radio station is going to perform and the better the service you're going to provide to your community.
I love what you said there about speaking from the heart and connecting with people that way. What about the sound? Like, for example, sports radio tends to deliver either that modern rock, classic rock type of presentation. Some use jingles, but most have high energy rock vibe behind their on-air imaging. If you look at a news talk brand, they tend to be a little more serious, theatrical, with the orchestra type of musical approach. How much of what you guys do from a sound standpoint has to be adjusted to fit the current climate?
We've definitely produced some pieces, especially news beds and top of the hour IDs and different benchmarks throughout the course of the day for a lot of radio stations that have a more serious tone. Certainly when you're talking about coronavirus, it's something that that is an incredibly serious subject. And so there have been some pieces that we've built specifically for that. But I would suggest, overall, I would not completely change the sound of the radio station. I would adjust certainly certain aspects of it, and back from when the talent are speaking, you're leading from the heart. I think that that's incredibly important. But I think it's important that your listeners are coming to your radio station because your station fulfills a specific need and a specific desire for them. And for sports stations in particular, obviously these are people that are very interested in sports and want to hear what's happening. And unfortunately, your format, probably more so than any other format, is impacted the most because sports have completely gone away during this crisis. So I have a lot of respect, and I'm also very impressed with a lot of the creativity and how you guys are programming around that. And I think if you look at some of the brands and you look at sports in particular, I've always been a big fan of the 30 for 30 and how well ESPN has done with taking phenomenal, dramatic sports stories. I was just watching this last weekend during the 80s, the Lakers and the Celtic rivalry with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, and just what a phenomenal time for the modern age of that really kind of defined the modern age of basketball. And I think, especially in a time like this, if you can take the nostalgia of phenomenal sports, which so many teams, I think all teams have phenomenal stories, and retell those stories and do something that kind of brings a smile to your listener's face about their favorite sports franchises and tell those stories and relive them. I think that's a phenomenal way to program around what's happening now, and also something that listeners, and including myself, are interested in.
It goes back to what you were saying before about connecting through the heart, because we all like to be reminded of better times. We like to tap into things that put a smile on our face. And when you can do that, you know, that's why 30 for 30 has been such a powerful storytelling model, because everybody feels like they can connect to a story. And you're right. Right now we've got a dark sports world. There are no stories to tell. So you better have some things from the past to pick you up. One thing I want to ask you about that I thought was particularly interesting. Usually when these kind of times happen, a lot of things start to shut down, but that's not normally the case if you're a voice talent or an imaging director. These are times where the workload, for the most part, starts to get busier. Have you guys seen an increase, the same amount of input? How has it changed, essentially, over the last month for you guys?
It's interesting you ask that question, because I've been following it very closely. The first week, and we really kind of look at this all starting mid-March for all intents and purposes in regards to the economy starting to really slow down. And the first couple of weeks, we had a decrease of about 10-15%. And I think part of that was people were moving, they were getting used to working from home. And back to your first question, we're adjusting to that whole new situation of working from their kitchen table or their home office. But after that, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, the volume picked up dramatically, and we're back up to about normal on our commercial production levels, and our imaging levels have actually been up about 5% over the last week and a half. So we've been pleasantly surprised by the demand. VO talent have been busier than ever because there's been a lot of certainly copy and different changes for them to have to voice. But overall, the demand has been, I would say right now, flat to slightly up.
Well, and also a lot of that's going to come down to the news cycle too, right? As things continue to change. I mean, if they shut us down for another 30 days or another 15 or for 3 months, let's hope not. the voice talent has to do a new read, and you know that's going to be important for making sure our station sounds fresh with what's going on in the world. I know right now, I'm sure you're aware of this, Dave, like obviously the radio business from an advertising standpoint is dealing with a lot of punches to the gut. And it's because everybody's going on pause. They don't know when this thing is going to end. That being said, you know, I go back to when we were in New York in late February, Tim McCarthy, the general manager of ESPN New York, had said on stage that one of radio's biggest issues is that it doesn't market enough to tell people of how important and valuable it is. And in his case, he buys billboards in New York City to tell people about the radio station. Well, the one thing, we may not be buying billboards right now, but we do have airwaves that are being listened to that could also be impactful. I don't know if you've seen this story, but in Australia, a commercial radio outlet there started using their own airwaves to start reminding local businesses about how important local radio can be for helping local business move product and ultimately draw customers. Looking, just using that as an example, how should radio stations right now be using their airwaves from an imaging standpoint to remind the local community of how important it is to continue to invest in radio? Because if they don't give us business and we don't move product for them, we all go down.
Fantastic question. So there's a couple examples. Erica Farber at the RAB and Yaman Air produced some spots that all radio stations have access to that are doing just that and promoting that radio is still on and radio is still here. JVC Broadcasting, who's a client of ours, I think is doing a phenomenal job in the East Coast, and they're actually giving away some of their inventory right now to clients, a lot of restaurants and a lot of businesses that are struggling, but are open in a limited capacity, such as restaurants from a takeaway. They're running ads and actually giving some of their inventory right now. Intercom is doing a good job here in LA, and they're highlighting a lot of businesses that are open and giving them basically shout outs on air. Again, I think all really good things to serve the community and also show that radio is still here and we are on during this crisis and are serving our listeners. But I do agree with you as a whole that especially not even in times of crisis, but great times like we were just, you know, 30 or 45 days ago, radio can do a better job and should do a better job collectively of telling the benefits of what we do. And I think that, again, you know, I've got huge admiration and respect for Erica and the RAB and I think in the NAB, and I think they do a really good job. But I would like to see more collective collaboration between all the major groups and trying to promote the medium as a whole.
You know, in these times, you find out who the best creative people are and who's essentially at the mercy of the news cycle and you know, the day-to-day content. One thing I love that you guys have done is you've started a Facebook group to try and bring people together to share ideas, help make the content experience better for radio stations. What have you seen so far that's come from that group that might be useful to folks listening to this, and how can folks get involved?
Yeah, man. Thank you for bringing that up. That was the brainchild of Ken Benson from P1 Research. He came to us about 2 weeks ago and had come up with this idea, and we fell in love with it. So we collaborated with him, and about 24 hours later, we had the group live, thanks to our marketing and production teams. And we now have over 2,000 members. We're actually at 2,103 at this very moment. And the interaction has just been incredible from around the world. I'm looking at it right now, and I think, I don't know about in New York. I imagine this is the case in New York, but here in California now, as of today, we're all required to wear masks when we go out. So even when we go to essential stores like the supermarket, we're supposed to wear a mask. And so a lot of states are trying to get that word out. And so there's a station in Philly that, let me go up to it. XPU in Philly is doing a great promo. It's social media. They're looking for people to send selfies with their called Show Us Your Masks, just to get the word out that you need to wear non-medical masks. Fitz in the Morning at 98 The Bull just put up a, this is pretty funny, it's a parody song about a toilet paper giveaway that they're doing on the air in Seattle. And here's one based on your last question in Montreal, local 103.3 FM 103.3 is offering local restaurants and other local essential businesses a support package. Basically, they can advertise now and then pay when the crisis is resolved. So that's an interesting concept. 94.9 in San Francisco, they're embroidering. This is very cool. 94.9 face masks. And so they're doing a face mask giveaway with their logo on it, which is cool. But yeah, I would love to have any of your listeners join the group. It's a very fun, interactive group. And there's also, and something I wanted to bring up, and this came up in our webinar the other day, it's still okay to do comedy if that comedy is appropriate and in good taste. And there's some great pieces. I think Jack FM, which is one of our clients, does a really good job of self-deprecating comedy and still putting a smile on people's faces. And there's a lot of research that comedy actually helps in the healing process. And so that is something that, as long as it's framed and done properly and in good light, it can be done. But you just have to be cautious and making sure that you're doing it in an appropriate fashion.
The flip side, unfortunately, I'm sure, you know, you look around and you see advertisers right now pressing the pause button. You've got layoffs, unfortunately, have had to impact some folks in radio. Programmers, especially if you're in sports, are trying to create content during a time when there's not much to work with. From where I sit, I can't remember a more chaotic situation where the whole world shut down like this. Even the decisions that we make from a content standpoint that we think might work, we have no idea if they really work because nobody's got a playbook for how to run a radio station effectively during a global pandemic. So in the meantime, while these companies are dealing with some short-term pain, if you're looking at it from a business point of view, what advice would you give to industry decision makers who are trying to keep stations afloat right now while they're obviously dealing with a few setbacks given the current advertising climate?
This is unequivocally the most challenging time I've ever had to lead through. It's the first time that I've run a company through any sort of severe economic downturn. Benstown was born during the Great Recession, and so we've got some experience operating at a bad time, but that is nothing compared to what it is today. And to give you some context, during the peak of the Great Recession, we had about 600,000 jobless claims a week. We had 6 million a week ago.
Wow.
We had 10 times the amount of jobs being lost. And we also went from, no joke, in February, the stock market was at an all-time high and unemployment was at a 60-year low. And we went literally, we were going 85 miles an hour and we just hit a brick wall. And it is incredibly difficult for, I believe, anyone, myself, anyone far more educated than me, to fully predict or grasp how to even manage through this. Let me use an analogy. I've been using a garden hose, and if you're out in the garden and you're watering your plants and you've got the garden hose turned all the way on, that's the economy in February. In March, it's like someone, for a lot of businesses, turned that hose down 90-95%. So you've literally now just got a trickle of water coming out of that garden hose. Mm-hmm. Even during a depression or a recession, you probably have turned that garden hose down 25%, 30%, but nothing compared to what it is right now for travel, leisure, restaurants. So many categories, retail, are just absolutely getting destroyed. And this is, I really don't think maybe 100 years ago during the Spanish flu, it was this difficult to have to operate through, but I can't think of another example. And obviously we weren't alive then and don't know for sure. But to really manage through it is such a case-by-case situation because it has a lot to do with what your balance sheet looks like. It has a lot to do with how much money you have in the bank to help you bridge this gap. So if you're an Apple, or I just saw Bonneville announce today that they're not going to make any cuts.
Right.
They've got a balance sheet and they've got a war chest that's large enough to help bridge this gap. And there are certain companies that have that type of situation. Unfortunately, most companies do not. Most companies just are not built to have almost all their revenue turned off and be able to sustain that. And so that's why we're seeing a lot of furloughs and a lot of layoffs. And I completely understand it. There's just, unfortunately, no other way, as horrible as it is, there's no other way to manage around it because your cash flow has just been turned off. Now, hopefully this government, the stimulus plan, the payroll protection plan, which we applied for and so many others have, and the SBA loans, and the Congress is working on getting more funding, is going to help with that and help bridge that gap. But I still don't think it's going to come close to replacing all the lost revenue throughout April and May.
You mentioned how the job market is drastically different compared to the last time. Right now, there are going to be a lot of radio folks on the sidelines, probably for the rest of this year. Even if we get back to normal, nobody's going to be running out and saying, let's go rehire 500 employees tomorrow. So, I mean, you've been around the business for a long time. What would be your advice to someone who's on the sideline of what they should do for 2020 and what they should be doing for 2021 if they're ultimately trying to get back on their feet?
We were born out of a recession, and so I think you can look at this from a few different perspectives. I do believe we're going to bounce back. I think it's going to be more of a U-shaped recovery, but I do agree that it's going to be slower, and probably a lot of the people that were let go will still be in that situation come the end of the year. I hope that's not the case, but I do think that will be. We are in, fortunately, a gig economy, and Bennstown's a perfect example. We work with a lot of different producers from around the world that help us contribute to our libraries and our imaging and our commercial production. And so I would encourage a lot of people that have an entrepreneurial spirit, such as myself, that this is a phenomenal time to go and try to build something and to create, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a syndicated show, whether it's a service, but try to create something with your skills, because you are so many of the talent that have been laid off in this last round are so ridiculously talented. And so I would really take this opportunity to hone in your craft and try to build something. And that is a beautiful thing about America and capitalism. I would always bet on capitalism, and I will always bet on America, because we will absolutely come out of this, and it will take some time, but I believe that the economy will come back, and this will be a great opportunity for people to build businesses, programs, and shows. And I do think there will be some hiring that comes back. It will just be slow and will take some time.
If you're looking into the Bennstown crystal ball, Dave, when do you see the world getting back to normal at some point, where we are living our normal lives and business is back to where it was?
I just finished up our annual reports and answered this very question in that report. I'm a big believer in what Bill Gates and Melinda Gates are saying. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to return to full normalcy until we have a vaccine or an elixir that help the people with coronavirus that unfortunately have to go onto a ventilator. And the statistics, it's horrific. The people that do have to go on a ventilator, it's very few of them ever get off the ventilator. And we have an issue with this virus where some people are impacted very much by it, and it really just is something like a flu for them, and they're over it in a few days, such as one of our employees. And then you've got people on the other extreme that die, and it's absolutely horrible and so difficult for the physicians and the medical community to get a grasp of that, how this virus works. So we have to figure out whether it's an existing pill or something that's already out there on the market that can help cure the people that have it, that get to that severity, or we have to have a vaccine. If it's going to be a vaccine, we're all pretty much aware that that's not going to be until sometime in Q3 of next year because of all the trials. So if it's a vaccine, unfortunately, I think this could go all the way until the end of next year. If we find some sort of pill or something that already exists that can help these people dramatically and get them off of respirators and increase the survival rate, I think it'll be sooner. It just really depends on what we're able to find and discover. So to answer your question, to come back around to it, I think starting in May, we will start to see a rebound, and we're going to have some some return. I think MLB baseball will end up going to Arizona and we'll start to play their games without audiences and they'll be televised. I think we're going to see restaurants reopen, but it'll be a situation where we'll have to sit at every other table, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll certainly get better, but I don't think we're going to be the full return to where we were just in February until we have this vaccine or we've figured out a pill that works incredibly well and can get people off of ventilators.
Listen, man, this was fantastic. I appreciate your time. I thought it was a great conversation. And if folks want to find out more about Benstown, how can they do so?
You can check us out certainly on the website, benstown.com. We've got, on all the social medias as well. And man, really appreciate everything you've done for us. You've got love your newsletter and the Sports Summit. And congrats on all your success. And I wish you health and happiness. And hopefully we return to normalcy soon.